We're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 17, the divisions of faith, text number 17. Shraya Parayap Taptam Pastat Trividam Narai Apala Kanshibir Yuktai Satvikam Parichakshite. This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith. I may not expect material benefits, but engage only for the sake of the Supreme, called austerity and goodness. Text 18. Satkaramana pujartam tapotam ena chayvayat kriyate tariha proktam rajasam chalamajuvam. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship in the mode of passion is neither stable nor permanent. Purport. Sometimes penance and austerity are executed to attract people and receive honor, respect, and worship from others. Persons in the mode of passion arrange to be worshipped by subordinates and let them wash their feet and offer riches. Such arrangements artificially made by the performance of penances are considered to be in the mode of passion. The results are temporary. They can be continued for some time. But they're not permanent. And text 19. Buddha grihinatmano yat hidaya kriyate tapa prasyat savinartam va tatama samudaritam. Penance performed out of foolishness, self-torture, or to destroy or injure others, said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. There are instances of foolish penance undertaken by demons like Hiranyakashipu, who perform austere penances to become immortal and kill the demigods. He prayed to Brahma for such things. But ultimately, he was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To undergo penances for something which is impossible, certainly in the mode of ignorance. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvi Shesha Shnivadi Paska Jade Satarne. The 17th chapter, Krishna is giving some explanation about charity, austerity, penance, and the different modes of nature. Because, basically speaking, everyone is performing some kind of charity. Everyone is performing some kind of penance. And everyone is going through some kind of austerity. It's impossible to live in the material world without performing one of these three. For instance, people wake up early in the morning to go to work. So that's quite austere. And they work all day. So that's penance. And then they get some money, maybe. And at the end of the day, they have to give it in charity, either to their dog or their family or someone. So in that way, everyone is working and performing these different types of austerities and penances and charities. But the result is either it will elevate one, it'll keep one in the same position, or it'll degrade one. It is not that, as people think, I can give charity to anyone and the same result will be there. For instance, if I give charity to a person on the street, comes up and asks me, and he goes and buys a gun with the money I gave him and robs a bank, then I become implicated and I helped him. I become an accessory. Even if the material law doesn't get me, the governmental law of the state doesn't get me, the laws of nature will get me. And I've been involved in a crime by donating money to a bank robber. Someone may say, well, this person's innocent. He didn't know he was going to rob a bank. But too bad. That's the way the material nature works. Yamaraj will feel sorry for you. As the Yamadutas come and drag you away to the darkest region of hell, there may be some little tear in Yamaraj's eye, but that's all you get for it. In other words, it's the duty of a human being, at least, to find out what are the laws of material nature. People falsely think that there are no laws, that they can do whatever they like, and the result will always be the same. But that's not how the material nature works. We can see that the sun arises at its appointed time, the sun goes down. Things are not working whimsically. We may want to think like that, just like a rabbit, when a big animal is attacking the rabbit, and the corn is a rabbit, the rabbit closes its eyes and says, it's not there, it's not there. Unfortunately, just by repeating that mantra, who's ever attacking the rabbit doesn't go away. Or the ostrich with his big body and little head, long neck, when it's attacked by a bigger animal, then it puts its head into the sand, thinking, now I'm safe. But that little head may not be attacked, but that big body is going to get it. So similarly, without knowing what the laws of material nature are, if we act against them, then we have to suffer the consequences. And therefore, Krishna says that Urdvam gacchati satasta vadye tishtati rajasa yaganya gunavritista ado gacchati tamasa. If you act in the mode of goodness, then you go upwards to the higher planetary systems. If you act in the mode of passion, you take birth among people engaged in frivolous activity. And if you engage in the mode of ignorance, then you go down to the hellish world. So that's the way it works. And since we have to perform austerity, charity, and penance, then either be in one of these three modes and we'll get a result from it. Therefore, it's recommended at the end of this chapter that Ashvadaya Hitam Datam Pastat Trividam Narai Ashvadaya Hitam Datam Pastat Tam Trivir Narai Yuktai Ashvadaya Hitam Datam Pastat Trividam Narai All contribute. Ashvadaya hutam datam pastat trividam smrita. Ashvadaya hutam datam pastat trikritam triyat apala kanchibir yukdai sat ichute parta nachat tat preti noiha. That's it. Ashvadaya hutam datam tapastat trividam yuktai nachat pretya Ashvadaya hutam datam tapastat trividam yuktai Ashvadaya hutam datam tapastatam kritam chiyat asat it yujute parta natat Na cha tat preti no iha. Ashvadaya hitam datam. Tapas taptam kritam chayat. Asat ichute parta. Na cha tat preti no iha. That anyone who performs sacrifice, charity, and penance without faith in the Supreme, what they're doing is useless both in this life and in the next. In other words, it's only our imagination that we think we're doing anything of any value if it's not in Krishna consciousness. People may get awarded, for instance, Nobel Prizes, Olympic gold medals, but at the end of the day, it has no meaning whatsoever. Even we become a Brahma in a universe. There have been so many Brahmas, but who remembers them? Who cares about them? Can anyone tell me the 10 top brahmas in the last? Who even we wanted to honor the 10 top brahmas. We don't even know who they are. We don't even know where they are. They might be a mouse in our room, for all we know. So, but at one time, they were ruling a whole universe. They were on top of the universe, Mr. Universe. And now, no one could care less for them. They don't even know, even if they could, wanted to care, they don't even know who they were. And there has been trillions of them like that. And this one will similarly be in the same situation very shortly. Yeah, Brahma only lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. You know that story of Lomasha Rishi? Lomasha Rishi, the hairy Rishi. His whole body was covered with hair, and it said that every time Lord Brahma would be born and it would leave his body, then one of his hairs would fall out. And he'd live for as many hairs as he had on his body, till all the hairs on his body fell off. So one day he was sitting by the bank of the Ganges, he was meditating. One of his students came over and said, "Guruji, maybe we should build you a bhajan kutir. It's not good that you're sitting here on the bank of the Ganges in this hot sun." So Lomasha Rishi said, "Well, what is the use? I'm only going to be alive for a short period of time." So we're thinking that our life is a long time, or Brahma's life is a long time, but it has no significance whatsoever in cosmic time. It's just one breath of Mahavishnu. His exhalation. He only lives, Brahma lives during the exhalation of Mahavishnu. And when he inhales, it's all over. He's history. Hardly even history. There's no one here. At least history, there's a book about you. When Brahma's gone, everything's gone. Even the book is gone. He's not in even anyone's memory. Because there's no one around to be in anyone's memory. Therefore, although we may give some, as Prabhupada said, some artificial importance to some people, for we artificially give them some glory, some recognition, but actually it's all meaningless. The only thing that's actually meaningful is just to do something for Krishna. And since we have to do something for Krishna, we should try to do it, as it will be explained here, in the proper mode of nature. Otherwise, we can do something for Krishna, but if it's covered by ignorance and passion, then the result will be something temporary also. If we perform our service to Krishna, expecting some result, some recognition, whatever, then we might get that, but that's only temporary. It's like going to a multi-trillionaire and asking for, you know, a wonder bar. Well, that's not a good example. Maybe that's pretty good to get a wonder bar. No, going to a multi-trillionaire and asking for 50 cents. Or maybe ask for $1.25 for the bus. You could get so much for him, from him, but you're just asking for something insignificant. Similarly, to go to the Supreme Lord and ask for something that any ordinary person can give you, it's just a waste of time. You might as well ask for something valuable. Like if we could get eternal life, full of bliss and full of awareness, that would be pretty good. You offer someone a flower and you get eternal life, well, that's, you can't complain, even if it's a nice flower. And that's what Krishna says. If you give me in charity a leaf, a fruit, some flower, a little water, you do it with love and devotion, then the result is that you reestablish a relation with me, and you'll live forever with me. Don't have to worry, as he says, idam gyanam upashitya vamasa dharma agata sarge pino prajayante pralayana vyantantiche. That one who understands this, idam gyanam upashitya, that whoever understands this philosophy about the three modes, idam gyanam upashitya vamasa dharma agata, then they obtain a nature like Krishna's nature. When we attain a nature like Krishna's, then we're not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of annihilation. We're already the eternal soul, but if we understand Krishna, then we'll realize our eternal identity. Now, hankering for material things and lamenting over material circumstances, now our consciousness is covered. And therefore, we don't realize our real true nature, which is what essentially we're looking for that nature, but we're looking for it within matter. But when we look for it within spirit, by simply doing the same things we ordinarily would do, but do them in the mode of goodness for Krishna, then the result is that our natural consciousness is revived again. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
Is there a difference between offering a flower and doing something bigger for Krishna?
Like offering a bigger flower? Depends. Everything depends on our devotion. Because if you're a wealthy person, or say you're very strong, or you could do many valuable services, but you decided, well, all I do is have to offer a flower in my day. My life is complete. I'll offer a flower and then I'll go back to sleep. No, we should do what we can for Krishna. But if all we have is a flower, then that's all we can offer, then we should offer that. But Krishna says, yet karoshi, yet ashnasi, yet shahosi dadasi, yet tapasi kunti, yet takarusha manarpana. But all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that we perform, be done as an offering to me. But Krishna doesn't only want a fruit or a piece of flower or a flower, a little water. He wants so many things, but he'll accept that also. Anything else? Yes.
Like you were saying, if you get a billionaire, you don't ask for 75 cents. But when I read the big sages, when they meet Krishna, they say, all I want is to be able to do devotional service. That's the end?
Well, that's a good beginning.
That's the beginning. I never see him asking for anything else. I just...
Yeah, well, I guess they know what to ask for. Must be something of what they get. Because here we're looking for happiness. And whatever we get, we're expecting it to give happiness to us. But if we give Krishna happiness, we try to please him, then we get unlimited happiness in return. So that's a good deal. We give Krishna a little happiness, and he gives us unlimited happiness in return. So we should try that out for at least one lifetime. And if we don't like it, Prabhupada said, we can always come back to the material world. They'll always be here waiting for us. Anything else?
Well, just a comment, and then a question. Because I remember when I was a brand new devotee and I was 20-something years old, and I would hear Prabhupada said, well, just devote this one life to Krishna consciousness. And I think, God, this one whole life? So, that's a big deal, my whole life. Now that I'm 50, 60, it's phew, that life went like that. And I'm glad I did the best I could to offer it, whatever, to the best of my ability. But I'm going back to the top 10 Brahmas.
You have a suggestion? How to find out?
No, but now didn't some of them probably go back to Godhead?
I mean, yeah, some of them do. But I couldn't vouch which one. I'm sure the top 10 went back. And when we meet Krishna, we can ask him who are the top 10. He can come back and tell us. But there have been so many Brahmas. Not like a big, I mean, for us, it's a big deal. There's trillions and quadrillions of living entities here. There's only one Brahma. But there are millions and trillions of universes. Everyone's a Brahma. And there have been so many Brahmas, so many creations. But even being on the top 10 is no small thing. But it didn't do them any good unless they went back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai. Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Por Premanande.